and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. How to do good deeds. How to do good works for the glory of God, dealing primarily with the motives, why you do what you do, why you do what you should do. Part 14, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 478, since January the 20th, 2017, / Day 845, since January the 1st, 2016. The Bible reads in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, standing up in the churches, and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." And their reward does not come from God or Jesus. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And by the way, if you don't pray in your closet, if you don't pray by yourself, please do not pray standing in the church. Please do not try to lead others in prayer. If you don't pray privately by yourself, if you don't pray with your family in the morning, focus on that. If you don't pray in your closet, if you don't pray in your car, if you don't pray when you are by yourself, just you and God, if you don't pray with your own wife and children, your own husband and children, then please don't try to lead anybody else standing up in the church just to be seen and holding a great prayer meeting down on the corner. "But thou, when thou prayest, you, when you pray, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the privilege of prayer. And Lord, we pray that you would check each person's heart, that they do not pray to be seen or to be seen as someone holy or righteous, but they pray sincerely. They pray privately before you. And they don't try to make a scene about prayer. And when they do pray publicly, they pray the way they pray in the closet. They don't try to put on a show, straining and screaming and hollering as though you are deaf and you can't hear. You speak to us in a still small voice, and you can hear us no matter how low we go in prayer, in our volume. In fact, you can hear silent prayers. Prayers that can't even pass our lips. They're so deep. So, Holy Father God, as your Christian people, believers, as we speak first to believers and then to unbelievers. We individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults. Lord, if this message finds any of us doing any of this that is contrary to your word, Lord Jesus, please forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive others. Empty us, Lord, of that foolish pride and stubbornness, rebelliousness and meanness, that hypocrisy where we claim to pray so much, but we don't act good as much as we claim to pray. We're disobedient, mean, and hateful. For the true test of our Christian faith is not at the church with other folks putting on the dog, but at home when nobody is watching, or when we think nobody is watching because Alexa is watching. The other devices are watching. Other people are watching through those devices. And people need to be aware of that. But more importantly, Lord, you're watching and hearing everything that is said and done. And so, Lord, deliver people who claim to be Christians from the hypocrisy of trying to make people think they pray so much, but they're full of hell and the devil and meanness and ugliness. And as the old saints used to say, God does not like ugly. And they would say it very slowly for emphasis sake. And so, Lord, help us to remember that. You don't like ugly, and you will deal with your children. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to step and work in the hearts and lives and minds of your people. For we do have some in the church who don't pray at home. They don't pray with their family. But they always want to be forefront praying in front of everybody else. And Lord, we pray that your judgment would come, continue to come upon the church, for judgment must begin at the house of God. And then, Lord, in spite of our mess, in spite of our foolishness, Lord, help us to confess it and to repent of it. We pray that lost souls would get on the ship. That lost souls, people who don't know you, Lord Jesus, as Savior, would come to trust you as Savior before it is eternally too late, because the lake of fire is real, obviously. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if we take prayer to God seriously, which sadly fewer and fewer do, we will not engage in some of the foolishness and the foolish behavior of heathens, people who do not know God, but who may worship a false little g god, an idol. That's what the heathen do. And the hypocrites, they're right there in church with you. And they do the same things. They somehow believe that more activity, being real loud and boisterous, makes them more spiritual, and that's not the case at all. As I pointed out to you on yesterday, a lot of things, quite frankly, that we do in church are not necessary. And they're certainly not necessary if you don't do them at home. You don't do them with your family. You don't do it in the car. why show out at the church? Now, don't get me wrong, if the Spirit hits you, then do what the Lord leads you to do. But make sure you're not showing out. Because God does not like ugly, and He certainly does not like the ugliness of hypocrisy. Amen, somebody. For you see, we will not pray to be seen. That should not even enter into your mind. And I believe that people who are truly born again, after they have grown a little bit, that will not enter into their minds. They don't even think that way. And reward it by men. Let's let Deacon Stephen pray, because he can really call the cows home, so all other kind of foolishness. He can really pray down heaven. And I guarantee you that prayer does not mean anything. It doesn't even hit the ceiling, much less heaven. You should never hear anything like that about prayer. And I'm not too sure you should hear anything about how well you preach or how well you sing in the house of God. Oh, she could surely sing. I tell you, she can sing. Is she saved? Is she filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Is she dressed modestly? Is she humble? Was she putting on a show, like a performance, down like at the cabaret or something, down at the club? Or was she singing for the glory of God? Was the preacher preaching to get a response? Or was he preaching faithfully the word of God, whether people liked it or not? I saw a very powerful interview last night. I normally don't watch Christian television. I just don't. The truth of the matter is, the people who are on Christian television, not all, but a few, should not be on Christian television. They don't represent Christ at all in many cases, and they don't represent Christianity or Christians well. For example, Duplantis needs to sit down somewhere. It's like a comedy hour. Are you kidding me? But be that as it may, I love everybody. I ain't mad at nobody. Are we here to laugh, or are we here to pray and be encouraged, exhorted in the faith? So I normally don't watch television, Christian television, that is. But there's one man who has been on radio and television, and he's been faithful down through the years. And I believe that he is the pastor, the true pastor of this nation. We called Billy Graham the pastor of the nation. He's really not a pastor. Billy Graham is not a pastor. Billy Graham is a prophet and an evangelist to the nation and to the world. He was before he died. Charles Stanley, in my humble opinion, has been a faithful pastor of these United States and around the world. And he'll tell you, like he said in the interview last night, his main concern is growing folk up in the faith, encouraging them to keep on going on for the Lord. That's a pastor's heart. He said 99% of my ministry is that. But I do share the gospel as well, 1%. But that's not his calling. I have a pastor friend in Charlotte. His calling, he just loved to see people grow in the faith. That's his calling. And he's all about counseling folk and discipling people. He's very patient. He'll walk with you through trials and tribulations. That's not my calling. My calling is first and foremost, always and forever, to get the gospel to as many people as possible. That was the calling of Billy Graham as well. And we need to abide in our callings. But I believe Charles Stanley, I remember almost 40 years ago, when I first heard about Charles Stanley. He was just moving to Atlanta, I think, a little over 30 years ago now or whatever. But he was someplace else. And he was faithful. And he is faithful. And we need to get ready to say goodbye to him. Now he wouldn't go along with that, but he's been faithful, and he does not believe in retiring. And by the way, let me just say a good word about the two people who interviewed him. The son of the guy, Paul Crouch, and his wife, his flamboyant wife. I forget her name. But the son and the daughter-in-law, let me just say respectfully, they're doing a bang-up job. They're doing a better job interviewing people in a deeper way than their parents. Both the son and the daughter-in-law, they're perfect. They're not perfect, but they're doing a far better job. The interview they did with Charles Stanley last night is a classic already. If you have not seen it, you ought to see it. This is the first time I saw Pastor Charles Stanley break down and cry. For little Brother Crouch asked him, "How would you like to be remembered?" And he broke down and cried. For some of you, you know his famous saying is, "Be obedient to God and leave the consequences to God. Don't worry about the consequences." And he said, "I would like for folk to say that I taught that and I lived that." America's pastor for real. When you get to heaven, you're going to see how many millions of folk God used this humble preacher. Millions to get through the night, to get through many difficult days. And yes, his rebellious and stubborn wife tried to tear his ministry down, but he was one of those brothers who said, "No, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to stick with the God who called me, and I'm going to keep on doing what God called me to do. If you want to stay with me, you can stay. If not, you can go." And that's what he did, and he's remained single ever since that time. He has his Bible and he has his camera, and that's it. He said, "In my last days, I hope they find me with my Bible and my camera. I'm a truly blessed man." Charles Stanley is the real deal. And God wants you to be the real deal. God does not want you to be Charles Stanley or Billy Graham. God wants you to be you, but be real, be authentic. Don't be a phony and a fake. If you can't be happy in a small church and cheerful and joyful and serving in a small church, and yet you go to a bigger church and you're happy and cheerful and joyful, you're a hypocrite. It's not real. You're more about the excitement and seeing other people. But church is all about seeing the Lord, praying to the Lord, worshiping the Lord. It's not about how many people that are around you. And by the way, the crowd wants to hear stuff that tickles their ears. That's what Charles Stanley said last night. But always remember, it was the crowd that killed Jesus. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we will not pray to be seen and rewarded of men. Instead, we will pray in secret because God sees and hears in secret, and He rewards openly. Amen, somebody. Charles Stanley has gone through some deep, difficult, painful waters. But he is a man of prayer, and he has prayed in his secret chamber, his closet, and God has rewarded him openly. And we give God the glory, praise, and honor for his life. Many of you, if you have been saved over the past 10, 20, 30, 40 years, I assure you that Pastor Charles Stanley has touched your life in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Always on point, being faithful to the Word of God. I know some pastors, they don't even study for their messages. I have a pastor friend down in Florida. He doesn't even study for his message. He just gets a series from Charles Stanley and rebake it, warm it up, and there you go. Just take the book that Charles Stanley wrote and just preach a whole series from that book, based on the Bible, of course. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we will not engage by the grace of God in vain repetition as the heathen do when we pray. The main reason why we ought not to play games with prayer is because our Heavenly Father already knows what we intend to ask for and what we need. And strangely, beloved, sometimes we need certain things and we don't even know we need them, but God knows. And God in His love and grace and mercy will nudge us, and in His sweet, still small voice, while you're praying, He'll remind you, you need to be praying about this. Here's what you need, and here's what you need to do. And by the way, my dear friends, oftentimes when God answers your prayer, it requires that you do something, such as go and talk with a brother or sister that you have a beef with. God wants you to go and talk to them, make things right with them, apologize to them, or they apologize to you, or both of you apologize to each other. God will break you down and make you go to people, hear me well, that they are the last people on earth you want to go to. And when they open the door, they say, here, here, all right. God will, He'll give you an answer to your prayers. And oftentimes, God will use somebody that you have not spoken to in a long time. God, like every good father, wants His children to get along. Why would God, zip, bam, boom, give you something out of the sky when you can go to your brother in Christ, fellowship with him, and talk to him like God wants you to, and he can help you with your situation? Because he's already been through what you're going through, and so he can help you. He can give you what you need and also tell you how to use it and how to handle it, so that you can fish for yourself and not have to keep coming back for something else from that person. I would venture to say 7 times out of 10, God is going to give you an answer in his still small voice, and he's going to tell you what to do. Now, God can. He can drop it out of the sky if he wants to. And he's done some miraculous things for people who have prayed to him. But oftentimes, in his still small voice, he's going to tell you what to do, and you need to listen. You need to pay attention. And one of the reasons why many people don't get their prayers answered is because they don't pray aright. They don't pray with the right heart, the right attitude, the right spirit, with the right motive. God requires us to ask, even though he already knows very well what you need. Although God wishes to come to our aid, notice Isaiah 30:18 says, "The Lord will wait that he may be gracious unto you and have mercy upon you." You heard me pray earlier, "Lord, thank you for your mercy, love, and grace." That's how we roll, Christian folk. Sometimes some of us have been saved so long, we become holier than thou. We think we're all that and a bag of chips and a Coke, and we're not. In fact, the older you get in the Lord, the more you are to see how wretched and undone and how wicked and evil you are, and why it took God's grace to save you in the first place. If you're not seeing that, you're probably not born again. If you've been saved for a while. If you think you're all that and looking down your nose at other people, you think you're better than others, you have probably never been born again. You need to examine yourself and see whether or not you be in the faith. God will wait until we ask him. God will wait until we ask him. Specifically, I cannot explain that to you, but God will wait until you ask him. He wants you to pray. And by the way, those of you who don't want to pray, God can get you to pray. Trouble will make you pray. Family problems will make you pray. Children going astray will make you pray. There are some built-in things in life that will make you pray. Sickness will get you to pray, and real quick. Real quick, especially if it's your child. Tragic accidents will make you pray. When the debts are high and the money is low, we'll keep you praying. God can help you to pray now. He'd rather for you to pray in the good times and the bad times, same, same. Even the heathen pray, even lost people pray. If you want to do well in school, a test will make you pray. But please understand, prayer can't help you if you didn't put anything in your brain. Sometimes God wants us to realize that we are at the end of our feeble strength and meager resources before he intervenes. Every now and then he will allow us to get to the end of a rope and we don't even have the strength to tie a knot. We're just hanging on like that smart baby. A little toddler the other day who was hanging on a ledge until the black Spider-Man climbed up and saved him. Some of you are hanging on a ledge today, right now. You're at the end of your rope. You don't even have the strength to tie a knot, and you're hanging and swinging in the air. Swinging in the wind. And you're praying hard, and God is hearing you. And do you know that God will send somebody by to help you? God will intervene. God will work that situation out. The tragedy now is we have too many people who are delivered from a dire situation, and they have short memories, and they don't thank God. And as we said earlier, God does not like ugly. And so he might let you swing for a while, those of you who have a problem remembering what God has done for you. God is big on remembrance, dear friends. Let's read the Bible. He's big on remembrance. In fact, you're not a thankful person and a grateful person if you can't remember. There are some people who claim to be Christians who can't remember how good God has been to them. They don't appreciate the goodness of God in the thousands of yesterdays that got them to this point. And God does not like ugly. He wants you to be grateful for every answer to the prayer he's given to you. He wants you to be thankful. He wants you to remember, yes, way back when he delivered you from dire straits, a very difficult situation. God is big on remembering. And this is so that we will learn to depend wholly on him. To pray to him. When we cry out to him in prayer, he wants us to do so with complete faith in him and complete dependence on him as children. Praying to God in light of his omniscience and sovereignty also helps us to examine our requests in the light of his will. Because God already knows the deepest desires of our hearts, we can reevaluate our wishes and truly see if they are in alignment with God's will. Our desires. Are they in the will of God? Thus we can begin to pray more effectively, and we will be more careful stewards of provisions from God, which he supplies in answer to our prayers, and guess what else? We'll be more thankful. We'll be more grateful. There are some things in your life, dear friends, that happened maybe 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. You still ought to be thanking God for what he did. I remember when I was a young Christian. I was like many young Christians. I didn't believe in what the preacher was preaching about how that God would chastise you if you don't do it his way. I said, oh, that's all right. I'll take God's chastisement. I just don't want you to chastise me, Pastor. I can handle God's chastisement because God is loving. God is love. And then I wanted to do my thing. I wanted to do things my way in the ministry. And God began to tromp down on me. God began to chastise me and to rebuke me and to teach me the most important lesson he has taught me since I have been saved, and that is obedience. The power, the importance, the blessing of obedience to God. Do it his way, not your way. Well, preacher, wasn't it noble of you to want to help God and work a job and so you can have your own money? And so that's the problem. See, I had the wrong motive about that. I didn't want to depend on anybody. I didn't want to have to totally depend on God for my provision in case I wanted to step out of line a little bit. I didn't want to do the thing of depending on folks to give offerings, which is the biblical way. And I tried to do some things in those early years, and God would shut it down, shut it down, shut it down. And I thought I was doing something good. He said, no, no, no. I didn't call you to do that. He said, I call you to preach. And he told me in no uncertain terms, he said, Daniel, somebody needs to be full-time for me. I didn't know any full-time preachers except for one. But somebody needs to be full-time for me. Paul Levin was an evangelist out of Illinois. He wrote a very popular gospel tract. He was full-time from the time he was 17 years old. And God led me, son, if you're going to do this, do it full-time. I need for somebody to be full-time for me. And I want you to give yourself to prayer and to the preaching of the gospel and passing out gospel literature and witnessing to people. I want somebody, this is what he told me, somebody needs to be full-time for me. And after he chastised me and taught me the most valuable lesson I ever learned in my life, and that is obedience. He has, by the grace of God, blessed my life tremendously and used me far beyond what I ever thought I would be used. It is often said that prayer changes things. That is true. But more often than not, prayer changes you. Can somebody say amen? And that's one of the reasons why people don't want to pray, because they don't want to change. They want to do it their way. We still have Christians who've been saved 30 years still trying to do it their way. They have never learned obedience through the things they have suffered. If you are truly a praying person, not only will things change, but more importantly, you will change. How many times have you gotten up in the morning and by the grace of God you prayed a full prayer, and you know what your full prayer is? You know the basis you need to touch in prayer. And you had your to-do list. By the way, I was impressed with a man the other day who came up with the idea of writing down a not-to-do list. Wow. I said, what? I've never heard of that before, a not-to-do list. There's some things you ought not to do. And that leads me to my point. How many times you have prayed about something, you prayed your full prayer in the morning, you prayed with your family as you should, and while you were praying, the 25 things you had on your list, God eliminated 15 of them. So you don't even have to do that. That's you. You're thinking that way. You're all frustrated and all up in the air about how you're going to get everything handled. But first of all, here's 15 things you don't need to handle today. I'll take care of that. You don't worry about that. And here's 5 more things you can let somebody else take care of. So now you're just down to 5 things. How about that? Because you acknowledge me first. You pray to me. I'm saving you 6 hours. I'm saving you 10 hours today from you going out there spinning your wheels just because you stopped by and talked to me. Amen, somebody. Prayer does not change God. God does not change. Nor does prayer change God's will. Otherwise, he would not be God, ma'am, sir. And he is God, and you are not. the main change brought about by prayer is a change in you and a change in me. And this is one of the reasons why many folks don't want to pray, because we already know we need to change. We need to change. There are people sitting in here today. You need to change and you know it. You're not interested in prayer meeting because you don't want to change. You don't want to pray because you don't want to change. You don't want to change. You want to stay in your own, stay in your same old mean, hateful, rebellious ways, and you are mad and jealous and envious of other people that God is blessing because they change. Oh yes, listen to me very carefully. God is very interested in your changing and growing into being what He wants you to be. You don't have to be a caterpillar all of your life. You can turn into a beautiful butterfly and float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. You can't hit, devil, what you can't see. God wants you to be a beautiful butterfly, flying all over the place, enjoying yourself in God. But you must change. I visited one of my daughter's Twitter accounts, and she had on there a song that Michael Jackson used to sing, and I liked this song. I wasn't that crazy about it after I got saved, Michael Jackson. I was before I got saved. I went to one of his last concerts before he turned white. He was black back in the late 70s. He was still black like me. I guess he took this song to heart about change. And anyway, on my daughter's Twitter, she brought out something that I have brought out and used in my podcasting. It don't make any difference whether you're black or white. We need to look in the mirror. And I don't know if I'm getting the songs mixed up or not, but he sung about how that the problem is the man in the mirror. Your problem is the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror, the teenager in the mirror, the college student, the young adult in the mirror. You're your biggest problem. I pray for all of my children. One of the things I pray, yes, Lord, protect them from the devil. Yes, Lord, protect them from evil men and evil women in the church and outside of the church. Yes, Lord, protect them from themselves. Because your greatest enemy is you, yourself. You. The man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror. Stop pointing your finger at others, because you got three more fingers pointing right back at you. You're your biggest problem, not your family members or your friend. You. And God is very interested in your changing your evil ways. God is very interested, and He feels sorry for you, and I feel sorry for you if you don't change. And it's tough to change. Because if you don't change, if you don't repent, if you don't turn from your foolish ways, God can't bless you. You're limiting God's blessing on your life. Contrary to the popular preaching today, that you can just do anything all week long. You can shack up. You can have a boyfriend on the side. You can have a girlfriend on the side. You can be a drunkard. You can be a drug dealer. You can have drugs in the house and do everything the world is doing and think God's going to bless you. And it does not work that way, my beloved. I don't care how saved you are. God is not going to bless mess. He's not going to bless your disobedience. You can like it, lump it, or choke on it. That's not happening. That's why Charles Stanley said last night, is all about being obedient to God and let God handle the consequences. through prayer to a sovereign, omniscient God who already knows our needs. We grow in humility, don't we? Oh, yes, we do. And faith in God. And we become better prepared for the changes that will be brought about in our lives and in our circumstances and the course of events in our lives and in the lives of others. Isaac Watts wrote so beautifully, "Hear me, O God, nor hide thy face, but answer lest I die. Hast thou not built a throne of grace to hear when sinners cry?" Notice that Isaac Watts was not only talking about himself, he was concerned about others. He went on to say, "Thou wilt arise and show thy face, nor will my Lord delay beyond the appointed hour of grace, that long expected day. He hears his saints, he knows their cry, and by mysterious ways redeems the prisoners doomed to die and fills their tongues with praise." Amen, somebody. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're with me today, anywhere in the world, we thank God for you. But here's a question for you. If you were to die today, where would you go? Heaven or hell? This series is called the Just Jesus Evangelistic Series. And God has led me to do something I have never done before and I've never seen done before, evangelistically speaking, and that is to preach through the Gospels, introducing you to the real Jesus from the Word of God, and then sharing with you how you can get to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. If you were to die today, where would you go, heaven or to the lake of fire? That I believe we are seeing come out of the earth in two places right now. Pastor Andrew Hamilton, evangelist Andrew Hamilton, said he believes that this is happening because the Bible says in Isaiah that hell expands itself to make room. Now, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your soul's salvation from sin and from the lake of fire and gain a home in heaven where there's peace, quiet, joy, and it's cool and not hot. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner. You have sinned against God, and you know it. You have broken God's Ten Commandments. You have lied before. You perjured yourself. You have stolen things before some point in your life, and only one sin can get you into hell, because God demands perfection, and you're not perfect. And I'm sure that you would admit that. You have taken God's name in vain, sitting around joking, and somebody takes Jesus' name in vain. You have coveted after and lusted after people that don't belong to you and things that don't belong to you. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All means all. That includes you. It makes no difference if you work on Wall Street down on Main Street. Makes no difference whether you're from Vancouver or Atlanta. Makes no difference if you live in a big fine house on Pork Chop Hill, a mansion, or you live in a hut. Whether you went to college or not, whether you're black or white, red or yellow, we all have sinned against God, haven't we? Every last one of us. And thanks be to God, it's coming out more and more. Even great and rich and important people are being shown to be some of the greatest sinners, like the rest of us. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. Your sin and mine, always. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. All day, every day. You are dying right now, as I am dying right now, as I speak. My body is decaying every day, and so is yours. Why? Because we are fast headed towards a grave. One day you will too be 6 feet under. I know you've been to some funerals and it rocked you. One day is going to be your funeral. Why? Because of sin. Our bodies go to the grave, but our soul goes to hell if we have never trusted Christ as Savior, or the lake of fire, or to heaven to be with the Lord. That leads me to what Jesus said in Matthew 10:28. Jesus Christ was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. He did not care about tickling people's ears. He did not sugarcoat it. In fact, he preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. And he preached more on hell and the lake of fire than he did about heaven. And sadly, he preached more on hell than most preachers today combined. And Jesus Christ said these words, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. You don't want to go to hell. You say, preacher, I just don't believe that these fiery volcanoes that are happening in Hawaii and other places have anything to do. They're not an extension of the lake of fire. Well, whether you believe it or not, that's fine. But you have to admit that there's somewhere a lake of fire to avoid. Hell is a very sad place. Hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He was speaking of himself. That whosoever, that word whosoever is a wonderful word. It means anybody at any time. Believeth in him, that is Jesus Christ, should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's word on it, dear friend. And that's God's plan of salvation for you. You don't have to join a church to be saved. I know my dear pastor friends don't like for me to say that, but it's true. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to stand up and be embarrassed in the church to be saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand to be saved. These are all wonderful things to do after you get saved, but you can get saved right now because you may not make it. So many people have died thinking that they had more time, but time ran out. Hell is filled with people with good intentions. Hell is filled with people who suffered from the getting around to it disease, but they never got around to it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, and thou you shall be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. As the Lamb of God who took away your sins from the entire world. I don't know where your sins are. They're gone forever if you trust in him. Probably the greatest miracle is the disappearance of your sins and mine. That's just the good God we serve. It's just a gift. It's free. You say, but I want to pay some money. We don't need your money. God does not need your money. I want to do some good work. I want to work in a soup kitchen. That's fine, but that won't get you saved. My daughter reminded me this morning that I had told them I wanted to give some money to a soup kitchen that I saw. And I had never seen it there before, but there's a soup kitchen at a certain place, and we want to give some money to it. And that's fine and dandy. When she and I go down there to give the money, that's not going to save us. We do that because we are saved. Believe me, I would never think of anything like that if I wasn't saved, born again. Salvation is not based upon your works, your good deeds. You must put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who did all of the good works perfectly. He paid it all. And by the way, Maestro, let's sing that song tomorrow. Jesus paid it all. So please pray with me right now, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died for you, was buried, and rose again. And repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. I acknowledge that I have sinned against you. I've done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments by taking your name in vain, by lying, by being dishonest, by coveting after and lusting after people that don't belong to me. Lusting after things that don't belong to me. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ today, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, which will be tomorrow, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we might get out of here today, those of us who are saved through the rapture. I don't know, but I am looking for the uppertaker, not the undertaker. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good. Is our prayer. Let's all stand.